May God open our hearts and our minds that we may hear and respond to his word to us today. Amen. Have you ever found that anticipation is so much better, so much more exciting than realization? As I look forward to celebrating birthdays, big holidays, Christmas even, I've discovered that the planning, preparation and the building of expectation can be so much more fun, but not always, than the actual event themselves. But what so often happens is that one is so busy during the event itself, keeping it going, keeping the show on the rails, that it's quite difficult to sit back and say, here it is, the moment has arrived, here am I in it now. I wonder, was perhaps your Christmas day like that? Planning, 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 and followed by, oh, it's past, it's over. We make the mistake of living in the future and not in the present. It's obvious, is it not, to state that it is in the present that the now happens, when we can experience the joy of the moment. One of the best experiences I had recently of dwelling fully in the moment was at our carol service last Sunday evening. That experience enabled me to pause because the ancient rhythm of Bible reading, carol and choristers forcibly stopped me from thinking back or looking forward, but enveloped me totally in the present moment. The singing of the choir was so sublime, so angelic, it took me into a heaven that I thought, if it's like that, that's where I want to go, and maybe that's what the shepherds heard on that hill 2,000 years ago. So how can we hear that music afresh today? How can we refresh our listening, our ears, to hear again and in greater depth the message of the angels, good news of great joy for all people? Hear it so powerfully that we cannot but help to take action, to go and see. Perhaps have you ever, like Michael Morpurgo, he who did the cartoon on television over Christmas, sometimes wondered if this Christmas story has become so familiar that we've stopped listening to it? Michael's solution was to look at the story in depth and imagine himself so deeply present that he was able to rewrite it from the point of view of somebody actually there. Now that's a great meditational technique. Imagine yourself on an English hillside on a warm summer's night. You are chatting to your fellow shepherds, perhaps dozing sleepily, but carefully listening out for signs of happy sheep, keeping them safe from dangers that would threaten, from dangerous animals, well, long ago maybe. Imagine the night sky suddenly being lit up by the radiant light of unearthly beings and distant mystical music enveloping the whole scene. I think then you would be very definitely caught up in the present moment. But eventually the magic fades and somebody decides to go and see. There's already somebody who takes the practical decision, isn't there? And in Luke's Gospel this morning, one of the shepherds says, let's go down into town and take a look and see what these angels were talking about. Something we do not know what guided them to the right point. You can imagine them pushing through the heaving crowds because of the census. Maybe a shepherd's mother was the midwife who had helped Mary deliver the baby Jesus, the practical motherly sort who responded to the frantic pleas of a worried husband, Joseph. And she points the way. Look for a baby lying in an animal feeding trough in the stable next to the inn. An unusual place, very unusual to put a baby, they knew. And so they look for him in the stable and they find him. And the next part of the story is the part that's important for us. They shared with Mary and Joseph what they had been told. About signs, angelic announcement, choirs of angels, about who this baby was going to be, the Messiah, the Lord. Now, the original Greek word for Lord was one reserved for God's holy and personal name. And the meaning is clear. God would lead the people back to himself. No wonder all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary pondered all these things in her heart, no doubt remembering the words the angel said to her about the Holy Spirit coming down upon her and in some mysterious way conceiving her child, who was to be the Son of God. The words of the shepherds may have confirmed what she heard, but no doubt it was all still a very deep mystery. Now, a good way of coping with complicated, even stressful situations is to begin to do normal things. Joseph and Mary followed usual custom and practice according to the law of Moses and had their baby boy circumcised and gave him the name as instructed by the angel, Jesus, the one who saves. As we look upon this crib scene illustrating the Nativity, we see afresh what happened 2,000 years ago in that simple stable when God came on earth to save us from our humanity, to open to us the gate of heaven, to invite us to follow a life of simplicity. Luke, who we read, as he tells us at the beginning of his gospel, investigated everything carefully from the very first, is able to tell the shepherd's story today because the shepherds told others of what they had seen and heard. We too, in our turn, are therefore encouraged to tell others of what we have seen this Christmas. Tell others about our faith in the mystery that God has come to us as a babe in a manger, come to earth to breathe the very air that we breathe, come to share in our common humanity, come to show that he is one with us, come to call us to be one with him. Now that is the present reality in which we are to dwell. May God continue to richly bless us this Christmas tide as we seek to rediscover the meaning of the Christmas message and apply it in our lives day by day. Amen.